Before I begin, I just have to say this, and I hope you feel me on this one. This morning, I walked out of the house at my mom and dad's. They live up in Lansing, to drive back to Jackson, and there was a blue sky, and there was sunshine, and it was 41 degrees, and I thought to myself, man, I gotta put some shorts on. It's time. What a difference 1 week makes, man. Negative 16 degrees on, what is it, Wednesday or Thursday? And now I just checked the temperatures. It's almost 50. It was 49 degrees walking in here. And I'm like, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know what clerical shorts are, but I need to go find some so I can wear them. Well, today's scripture readings are, as scripture readings always are, right? Very pertinent to us, but in a special way today, they get to the very root, the very beginning of all things. In my homilies recently, I've been kind of speaking about this reality, and today's readings are, I think, another opportunity to uncover that layer again, to each of us. And it begins with the opening lines of the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Right, some of the greatest opening lines, as I said, to any of the books of the prophets. Jeremiah comes, and the Lord reveals himself to Jeremiah, and we have to remember that Jeremiah is going to be preaching to a people that have nothing to do with him or his words. He is one of the most pitiable of all the prophets, poor Jeremiah, because he is the one who finally has to follow the people of Israel into captivity, right? This is the moment where God's finally said, it's enough. You guys have had a couple centuries to turn it around, and you didn't. So now here come the Babylonians. And so they lose everything. And Jeremiah is the prophet of the Lord who gets to stick around while they lose everything. Not an enviable position to be in. But the Lord comes before Jeremiah. And in order to prepare Jeremiah for this great and very important task, but one which will incur great personal sacrifice, these are the words with which God begins. God says to Jeremiah, know this. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I already dedicated to you. A prophet to the nations, I already appointed you, Jeremiah. This is a statement of identity. In this particular, these words from Jeremiah are words that basically blow the concepts of human understanding. For you and I to ponder those words every day, but since it's in scriptures this Sunday, let's just say today in particular, it's a very beautiful and a very important part of your life as a Christian, a very important part of your life of faith. Because you and I, in the place of Elijah, hear the same words of God to each of us. God says, you know, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God knows you. God knows you from all eternity. God knows you from all eternity. Okay, that's mind-blowing. There was never a time that God did not know you before you ever existed. You were in the mind of God. And to be in the mind of God at the very same time means to be loved by God and chosen by God. You were known from all eternity. There has never been any existence of reality that has ever not included you. Because God is eternal, which means you've always been there. You've always been there. What? We don't have to exist. We don't have to be here, and we're here. Why? Because God knows you. And God just didn't know you in, you know, 1965 or 1978 or 1987, if you were born my year. God knew you in 1455. God knew you in 3000 BC. God knew you before he formed the earth. God knew you before creation. God knew you and loved you. That is who you are. God's mind thinking you and loving you is what makes you you. It's what defines, it's what constitutes you. That's awesome. And God reveals this to us because this is where we have to make, this is where we have to make the foundation of our whole lives. Who am I? Right? Who am I? It's a question that we ponder on, we think about, like, and as we grow up, we kind of like give ourselves these sort of attributes as to like who am I? Well, you know, I'm a man, you know. I'm left-handed, I'm a lefty, yeah. I'm a TV watcher. I'm a bookworm. I'm a beer drinker. I'm a golfer. Whatever I am, right? I'm a professor. I'm a priest. Right? We give ourselves these kind of identities, these kind of attributes, so to speak. Anybody here born a bookworm? Anybody here born a TV watcher? Or a beer drinker? Or a golfer? Or a teacher? Or a priest? Who are we at our most foundational? We are known and loved by God and chosen. Jesus reveals this to us. And in fact, the great theology of the church speaks to us this way. The church says, you can't even know who you are unless God reveals you to yourself. The only way that you can come to know who you are is if Jesus reveals you to yourself. So our whole lives are actually a journey of great self-discovery and then self-possession for us to discover who we truly are. And God says, I'll tell you who you truly are. You're mine. You're known. And you're loved. And you're chosen. And you've already been dedicated even before you were born. Jesus in his ministry, he actually comes to confront us with that reality. And in a fallen world, right, what is Jesus doing? Jesus is confronting us in all of the identities that don't really actually have to do with us, but which we place upon ourselves as a way to think that we can know who we are. Right, and Jeremiah actually encountered the same reality because Jeremiah went to go speak the prophetic truth of God to say, this is who you are, and the people would reject him. And God said, I'm going to have to make you like a pillar of brass, like a fortified city, so that you are not crushed by the people who will press themselves against you, but so that you can withstand to speak the truth. And you will only be able to do this if you know who you are. But if you don't know who you are, you cannot be my prophet. You will fail. You cannot be my disciple. You will fail. You have to know yourself in me, right? And in me alone. So Jesus, of course, in this fourth chapter of Luke's gospel, is like directly, this scripture directly follows from last Sunday's gospel, right? When Jesus went into the synagogue, coming back to his hometown of Nazareth, beginning his preaching career, everyone's like, hey, welcome home, Jesus, high five. Hey, it's the Sabbath. Why don't you come in and maybe why don't you preach for us today? Yeah, welcome back. We know that you're doing this new thing. Why don't you read? Why don't you teach? Right, and so Jesus takes out the prophet Isaiah and gives this like one-line mic drop homily. This day, the scripture is fulfilled in your presence. And so as Jesus begins to speak to his own people, he begins very seriously to speak into the identities that they are not. Because when Jesus comes before them in so many words, he says, you have to know this, you don't know who you are. And why does Jesus say that? Because he loves them, and because he wants to heal them. And because he wants to show them that before they were formed in the womb, God knew each of them, and that their identities are in the Lord. But because the people, his own people of Nazareth, have appropriated to themselves identities that do not actually define them, Jesus is beginning to touch what is evil in them, what has become an idol in them. And when that happens, what occurs? Immediately. Wrath. Fury. Right? When the evil is touched, no likey. Does not want to be touched. You see, Jesus, in confronting them and in the loss of their own knowledge of self, has to say this to them: you are not who you think you are. And what do they say? Yes, we are. Get out. You want to tell me something different about me than I say about me? Get out. That's what they say. Wrath to the point of even wanting to kill God, to kill Jesus of Nazareth, because they say, who are you? I mean, you're just the son of Joseph. We know who you are. You're the carpenter. You see, they did not recognize the identity of Jesus. They didn't see who he truly was. And in so doing, right, we're not able to accept the words of life and of healing that he wanted to give. This is what makes the task of the prophet so grueling. Not only for Jeremiah, not only for Jesus, but anyone who actually makes the decision to be a Christian and to live it. Because as you and I grow in our faith, we become more rooted, not here, but in our experience here. Who am I? I'm known. And I'm loved and I'm chosen. And as I know that in my heart, that's enough. That's enough. And I no longer feel the need to appropriate other identities to myself that don't actually define me. Now, they may be things that are true about me, of course, right? I mean, it's not like we can't say, I'm a teacher, I'm a golfer, I like to drink beer from time to time, whatever that may be, right? However, where are you rooted and where am I rooted? And if that is, and if you and I have the courage to be vulnerable with the Lord, to accept that and then to go forth as Jeremiah does, to begin to speak that to the world's going to crucify you for that. And you and I won't stand unless being a child of God is enough for us. Being known by God and loved by God is enough for us. Yes, yeah, sure, if you speak what the world wants to say about themselves, and if you celebrate that about them, they will love you. They loved Jesus. It was all kind of happy rainbows and sunshine, and they were amazed at the gracious words that he poured forth. Right, but as soon as he touched the truth, don't go there, Lord. Right, don't go there. I will drive you away. This is a very earnest invitation for us to see that this is true of our lives, right? This is true of the world in which we live, man. You can be a Catholic in the world as long as you tell the world what the world wants to hear about itself. They'll love you. They will. But you try to speak the truth, you'll be crucified. You can become big and powerful. You can become the governor of New York. And if you speak the words of the world will love you. But if you try to speak the truth, you will be crucified. You know what? And this is what's most sad about us and about what's most tragic and difficult about our lives as Christians is the Christian message is not a message of hate. It's not about hate, right? It's about healing. It's about saying to the world, I am not here to reject you. I'm here to give you the truth about your own selves so that all of us may have our strength and our joy in the Lord. Isn't that such a sad thing that people don't want to hear the best about themselves? Right? But they're just so convinced about their own evils and about their own identities and about their own desires that they close their hearts and they close their ears to the saving truth that will set them free. And so we have to be sober about this, that this is not just a mental exercise. This isn't just kind of a pious thought to ponder. This actually deals with life and death in this world that we are called to live in and we are called to minister to. And so the invitation in earnest is this, these words that God speaks to you this day. Know this about yourself. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you.